This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
405 DGS, happy Thursday to you. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Oh, where do I start?
Yeah, where do you start? Take your time. It's all you.
All right, you know, we're like 95 right now. The record for today is 99. That's safe. Not going to worry about that. But very warm tonight. We're only going to get down to 77. Tomorrow is the day. Friday, sunny, hot, more humid. There's going to be a hot wind developing in the afternoon. Yes, the humidity is up a little bit tomorrow, but it's still a dry heat, and the soil is extremely dry. So that's allowing our temperatures to get a little bit out of hand. 100, 101 tomorrow. The record is 100 from 1953. So that's very much in jeopardy. The last time 100-plus temperatures in St. Louis, July 14th of 2018. Oh. So it's been a while. Hottest ever in June, 108 degrees. That was June 28th in 2012, which was a brutal summer. And that was a record for the day. Hottest ever in St. Louis, 115, July 14th, 1954, which is probably the hottest summer ever in the St. Louis area. You could go back in the 30s and find some too. Now, Friday night, maybe a spot thunderstorm, but the odds are very small. There's a cool front that's trying to come in from the north. It never gets here. We're in the 90s during the evening Friday night, 75 for the low. The warmest overnight low for tomorrow night is 79 degrees. So we're going to be really close to that. Saturday, Sunday, partly sunny skies. It's hot. It's kind of moderate humidity. 95 degrees Saturday, 95 degrees again on Sunday. Each afternoon could bring a spot thunderstorm, but I think they're going to be very hard to find. I've got some hope for you. A much stronger cold front coming in sometime Monday. Not real positive on the timing of this thing. I think Monday could still be kind of a hot day, maybe 90 degrees, but we're talking much cooler weather after that. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably Friday of next week. And at least for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're looking at daytime highs in the 70s to near 80 for the high and 50s at night. So hang in there. Another cool snap is coming.
So this sounds probably a little bit, remember, Dave, of course you remember, Mark Close talking about when he was a kid and people didn't have air conditioning, they'd go lay next to Route 66 and get cooled off by the cars rushing by.
Right, the breeze of the car coming
yes.
by.
My mom tells that in Benton, they had a town square, still do, that they would bring out like an enormous block of ice and people would come to the park and just sleep around it.
Yep, during that, the year 2012, which was brutal, we were having some power outages because of the heat. But I would get a big pile of ice and a fan and just try to blow that through rooms just to try to keep things down a little bit.
Man, it's crazy.
It had to be the 80s, but I remember our AC went out one time, and I have three older sisters, and we were all crying like someone died. And my dad was looking at us like, I grew up without heat or AC. Yeah. Go sleep in the basement, you dummies.
Yeah.
Yeah, the basement. Basement's a great alternative. But you think the hottest ever, again, that 115 from the middle of July in 54. There was some AC in St. Louis, but it was very limited. And we're talking nighttime temperatures right around the 14th of July. Nighttime temperatures were like 98 degrees.
Oh my God.
Can't even imagine it.
No.
I mean, we're so weak now when it comes to AC that
For sure.
I can't imagine it.
Wow. Rach, you have another story about Mr. Bezos?
Yes, but first, let's acknowledge that Murray's forecast is brought to you by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling. You can get in your comfort zone with 0% financing. Just visit aircomfortservice.com.
Can you imagine those guys this weekend, Air Comfort, Hoffman Brothers?
Busy.
Very busy. So a former vice president of Amazon went to the New York Times recently and revealed that the company's warehouse management system was based around Jeff Bezos's belief that people are inherently lazy. So Bezos believes that workers' desire to perform well will decrease over time, and that if you worked for a company for a long time, it was a, quote, march to mediocrity. So the more comfortable you get, the less valuable you are to the company. So they devised a short-term employment model. I think on average, Amazon warehouse employees last 13 months with the company because Amazon intentionally works them very hard to the point where they feel so burnt out that they can't do it anymore. So they don't offer wage increases after your first couple of years. They don't want to incentivize you to be there for a long time because they believe that you will work less hard over time.
Okay.
Great.
I think he's one of the worst people in the world. But let's just, for a moment, thought experiment. To what degree is Bezos correct? Like, the longer you work for someone, the more comfortable you get. You're going to get fat and happy, and you're going to start slacking off.
But the whole point of working for someone and working your, like, you have the incentive that you're going to move up. Like, that's the promise, that if you do a really good job, you're going to move to the next level. Why wouldn't you want someone to work in your company that started at the bottom, knows the product, is incentivized by a raise or tenure or a position? I don't understand, as a business owner, why you wouldn't want that. That's what employees try to do. Move up, make more, provide a better life for their family. It doesn't make sense to
me. Rach, you said it's so bad in some parts of the world that they're literally running out of people to employ.
Yeah, so they have these warehouses in these areas. I think there's one over in Collinsville, if I'm not mistaken. That area, there's a big Amazon warehouse, and I've known a couple people who have worked over there. So the turnover rate gets so high that Amazon is running out of people to employ because they've already burnt through a certain percentage of the population that can work there, you know, like are in the skill set to work there, and they start to run out of people because the turnover rate is that high. This also results in high workplace injuries. You're more than twice as likely to have an injury in an Amazon warehouse than you would as a company like Walmart. And that's because they keep workers on tasks with really limited break times. That's why you hear about people peeing in the bottles. They don't have time to go to the bathroom, and super high productivity goals. So you're just working the whole time you're there, staying over maybe after you've clocked out to meet your productivity. And they will do things like fire employees for a single day of low productivity. It's not like we've had a bad couple of weeks, we've had a bad couple of months. It's you didn't hit your quotas today and we're going to get you out of here. I think to answer your question, Trish, if you're a human being, you want people to stay. You want people to be happy because you know that that's going to result in a better product. But I think Amazon, the only thing that matters is profit. The only thing.
I know, and we're all going to keep buying from it.
I know.
And I probably will, too. And he's
I'm
like the
over
worst
here
person
in
ever.
In my mind, thinking, you have an addiction. Because I think the definition of addiction is like, you know it's bad for you, but you can't stop.
It's so easy.
And yeah. It's not like I buy things every day on Amazon. I don't. I do on eBay. But I would like to stop using Amazon.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking to myself, you're not going to.
Yeah. It's too easy.
And that's the thing is Bezos. I'm not trying to sit here and make him sound like a supervillain. I'm just talking about what he does. Yeah. This is not me trying to convince you one way or the other. I'm just telling you guys, this is what he does. And this company, I believe their goal is to make things so easy for us that it becomes difficult to do the right thing, which would be, you know, you see your fellow man like suffering and grinding for this company, not to mention the small businesses that Amazon puts out of business every single day. I mean, let's not overlook that. There's a reason why you can get something delivered to your house in 24 hours. Like, that's not natural. They're going to be cutting corners somewhere, and then usually it's going to be someone's being mistreated in some way. In order for you to get something super cheap that arrives on your doorstep the next day, it's not magic. Someone's picking up the slack in a bad way.
Never really thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I just accepted it.
Meanwhile,
I have a theory. I have another theory.
Good, Dave. Let's hear it.
I believe Bezos is from Mars. Then they dropped him off here because they couldn't stand him anymore. And that's why he's going up in a rocket ship. He wants to get back to Mars just to prove that he can do it.
I like it. Hello, Cindy. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, first time calling you guys ever. I like your show.
Thank you.
Thank you. I was born in 1954 in July, and my mom tells a story about that's when women stayed in the hospital for a few days after they delivered, and they used to prop up, and it was like a ward of in a maternity ward where women were had just given birth, and they would prop the chair up with ice in a bucket, ice block, and put a fan on the mom who just she had a fan blowing on her after she'd just given birth. So yeah, it was pretty hot, I guess.
Wow,
man, oh man.
Man, you just gave birth. And then it's like, all right, well, here's some ice and a fan.
Yeah.
Man, moms are tough.
No, always remember it. No kidding. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking back. I've said it before. I think I said it this week. We had one window unit that didn't go on until it hit like 95. Never, ever at night.
How did you sleep?
To me, I didn't. Window fans were like the devil. Because that was always the excuse. The window fan takes care of it. So I'm like, I hate the window fan. And
evil.
It was just so, it was a window fan in my sister and brother's room. And it turned it on. I'm just like, I could put my face on the blades and nothing happens. Oh,
the
God.
Worst.
Do you think that's why you overcompensate with your AC usage
now? You know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. They made fun of me for years because I would literally open all the windows, build a fire, and turn on the air conditioner. Just like, I don't
care.
I don't care. I want to be comfortable. Yeah, you're probably right, Rach. But no, and also I was really, really scared as a kid. And so every night I had to put the covers over my head and then tucked, and I'd hold them under my chin. My mom would come in several times a night to take them off me because I like wasn't breathing. And so it's 95 degrees outside. Your head's covered
105
up.
105 under the covers.
Yeah. But I'm not a hero.
It's like a therapy session all of a sudden.
Not a hero.
No. He just stands all day.
Yeah. 4 hours a day. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, buddy.
All righty.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 421. My guest is Wally. Wally's at Militzer.
That's correct.
From 1 Million Baseball Cards, the oldest card company here in St. Louis. And Trish, why don't you frame this since you're the one who found this story?
Yeah, I saw this story and, you know, I myself never collected baseball cards, but I thought it was interesting that over this past year that people started really buying them up so much that you guys are having a hard time putting them on the shelves. And the other thing I thought was interesting too, which totally makes sense that, you know, Wally, you were quoted saying like the typical buyer is a middle-aged guy who used to collect cards and now he starts buying them again. And I just thought, gosh, what a great thing to look back on, especially if they did it with their dad, you know, that piece of nostalgia,
yeah.
Especially during the pandemic.
Well, after 30 years, it is, you know, what's kind of gratifying for us is I see a lot of dads come in now that came into the store when they were 10 or 12 years old. And now they're bringing in their 10 or 12 years old. So it's just another sense of, you know, it's fun for a lot of people. You know, the hobby industry, whatever you want to call it, is really healthy right now.
Wally, I'm going to hurt you bad here. My dad passed away back in 2002. He would be 93 years old right now. He was an avid baseball card collector, and he went to fight in World War II when he was 16. So do the math on what he would have had. He had a dresser, four drawers full of baseball cards pre-1941. And his grandmother, who he lived with, threw them away because he was a grown man coming back from war and he wouldn't be interested in little boy things.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine what those would be worth today?
Yeah, that's probably 1933 Gaudis. That set has four Babe Ruths, I think two Lou Gehrigs in it. You know, Jimmy Fox, all the old all-time greats. Yeah, that, hey, hindsight's always 20/20, but that's one that shouldn't have made the landfill.
And Wally, I'm a collector, not so much baseball cards, but, guitars and things like that. And it always just makes me crazy to think right now, in somebody's closet is a 1952 Les Paul. Like, do you ever just lose sleep over all the great cards that are just sitting out there and no one knows they have them?
I don't think there's too much of that going on anymore. We get, typically 6 to 10 phone calls a day of people wanting to sell stuff, and we'll get 3 to 5 people coming in every day, without calling first. And there hasn't been like a really great find in the last couple of years for us.
Gotcha. So is it?
I'm not saying we didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
But it was a lot more stuff. Just the nuts and bolts. Somebody would come in with a McGuire rookie, a Mattingly rookie, a good Mike Trout card, something like that. But we haven't anybody bring in, Babe Ruth cards, anything from that 33 set. We haven't had anybody bring in any the T206s, which were made in, 1909 through 1911.
Yeah.
That's where that rare Hannes Wagner is.
Yeah.
I think in the last 3 years, we had one person bring in, 20 of those, but they were all common cards, in rough condition, which aren't really worth a lot.
So evidently, like, modern Pokemon cards are having a resurgence, and even things just barely a few years old are worth a ton of money. Is it like that with baseball cards? Like, are you a fan of collecting the modern-day baseball cards for investment as well?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are. I mean, I'm in my 60s, so I relate more to the Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, Stan Musial generation. Although, I picked up a really nice Dylan Carlson autographed patch card earlier this year, that I'll keep for myself. And so I still have the collecting bug, yeah.
How much has the internet changed the way you do business?
It's been good for all people involved, really. It's good for us because, it's another income stream. It's good for the people trying to sell us stuff because now when somebody comes in the store, I don't have to say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in this because it won't sell in the store. Now I can look at it. Well, it might not sell in the store, but this will definitely sell on eBay. So we end up buying a lot more stuff, and hence the people coming in trying to sell us stuff have more success.
Talking to Wally here from 1 Million Baseball Cards down in Baldwin. Wally, what are a couple of the coolest, rarest, most expensive cards you have?
Let's see. We have a second-year Willie Mays now. If anybody's got $2,200 and wants to call me up tomorrow, we could show them. We have some nice Mickey Mantles in the $300 to $400 range.
Has there been one you've had your eye on, like, forever and just can't seem to get? Like, is there just one that would be like, treasure box?
Yeah, actually, it came in earlier this year where I've had every Mickey Mantle card to sell except, his two rookies, the 51 Bowman, the 52 Tops, and to a lesser degree, the 53 Tops. I think I had a 53 Tops, like, 20 years ago to sell. Well, somebody actually came in with one of those that was in good enough shape that we actually bought it. So that one I held on for a while. I want to own it for a while.
Hmm. Wally, where do people find your shop?
Say it again?
Where do people find your shop?
We're on Manchester Road. We're 4.5 miles west of 270 in a center called Winchester Plaza. And the big thing there is St. Louis bread and a pitch for School of Rock.
All right, cool. Wally, thanks so much. We appreciate it. That was fun.
Yeah.
It looks like you can find Wally. Them online, too, at 1millionbaseballcards.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
439 DGS. We are out of here today at 520 because the Cardinals pregame. Same for tomorrow. Rage Headlines.
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks, which I just told you about, asking St. Louis to join their mission and support Folds of Honor at checkout. So we know that President Biden met with Russian President Vladimir Putin yesterday. Talked to Senator Jim Talent about that a little bit. And Senator Talent was saying, like, I don't even know why we meet with this guy. Why are we validating him? Which I tend to agree. I kind of don't see the point to talking to Putin, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume that the president knows better than me. But did you know that they give each other gifts during meetings like this?
I didn't know it until I saw the story today.
Yeah, so President Biden gave President Putin two gifts. He gave him a custom pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses. And
classic Joe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He also gave him a crystal sculpture of an American bison, which is our country's national mammal. So.
Yeah, actually, they weren't Ray-Bans. I thought they were Ray-Bans, too. They're aviators, but they're from a private company called Randolph I'd never heard of.
Oh, okay.
And they it's a family business, and they did a story on the guy, and he's like, I didn't know. Wow, that's
now Putin's really wearing neat. My sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly.
President Biden also had a little slip of the tongue yesterday. He was doing a news conference.
Wait, everybody sit down.
And he accidentally called President Putin President Trump. But caught himself very quickly and moved on. So, all right, the Supreme Court.
Oh, before you leave that, did you see that he was salty with Caitlin Collins from CNN?
That Putin was?
No, Biden.
No, I did
she
not.
She said something, and he said, well, if you think that, you must not be very good at your job.
Mm. Ooh, uh-oh. And then,
but then he apologized.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Look, President Trump wasn't the only president who got mad at the press.
Nope.
My job at 97.1 back in the day was just like listening to Obama's press conferences and pulling audio. And he would get very stern. And I felt at times it was inappropriate. Turns out I didn't know what the definition of inappropriate with the press was. But it's not new. I mean, these are people who are going to get on each other's nerves and have interactions like that. Let's see. The Supreme Court has unanimously backed a Catholic group saying that they will not work with same-sex couples. This is out of Philadelphia. So they're a Catholic foster care organization. They don't want to give up children to same-sex couples. The city stopped working with them whenever they found this out. It's gone all the way to the Supreme Court, and they have unanimously decided to back this Catholic foster group. Citing, you know, freedom of religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if that were the only way to foster a child, I see why that's a giant problem. But if a religious group wants to make that choice, I think the courts probably made the right decision there. This is a crazy story. A worker, a contractor working at Maggiano's Little Italy shot an intruder this morning.
I'm so sorry, I hit my microphone.
Didn't you think she was like, what?
I'm sorry.
I can't believe you thought they were within their religious rights.
I can't believe you called it Little Italy.
No, a contractor working at Maggiano's Little Italy overnight. It was like 3:40 in the morning. Police responded to a call that someone had been shot. So they're doing contract work in the restaurant. An intruder forced his way into the building and then was charging these workers, and they shot him in the leg.
Can I just say, and everyone knows this, and this wasn't true 10 years ago, you are literally not safe anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. It used to be, back in the day, you could stay safe by avoiding places. That's not true anymore. You go to a mall, go to a grocery store, go to a family reunion, go home. You're just not safe.
Yeah, I think this guy, they were painting in there, just doing his job, probably got in there early to get the job done, and somebody breaks in and charges him.
See, that makes you crazy.
Yeah.
What, you know, the Skinner box with the rats, you know, like you either get shocked or you get a pellet of food. The way to make a rat crazy is to not let them know what's going to happen. Sometimes you think you're going to get the pellet and you get shocked. That's how you literally make a rat go crazy. And that feels like what's going on today in our world, that we can't hit a button and know we're going to be safe. well, I'm never gonna go out. I'm never gonna go to this part of town. I'm never gonna go do this. That didn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to work.
Go to church and get shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at the Galleria the other day for the first time in a long time. And you hear of so many shootings at malls and stuff. And I think shootings at the Galleria, I think there was one last summer that
Marie
was pretty
intense.
Remember that? That's right. That's right.
That's weird. Yep. That they were at one and then you were just at one.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Damn, someone's targeting the Glovers. No, but I was just, you know, walking past Free People or whatever, and I'm like, hope I don't get shot. And that's not a normal way to live your life,
no, it's
but
not.
That's the way it is now. This is very sad. The McDonald's in downtown Alton burned down this morning.
I saw that. Did they ever figure out what happened? I mean, that whole thing looked like it. The whole thing was ablaze.
Yeah, I don't have an update on what exactly happened, but it's gone.
We have a local witness who was very sad, though.
Yeah, Andrew goes there all the time, and he was actually planning on getting his lunch there today.
Aww.
So this is that crime really hit home.
Yeah, good thing you brought the quesadillas.
So since we've been, criticizing Amazon all hour long, let's bring Walmart into it. No, I'm just kidding. Walmart is investing in a drone delivery company with service to start in the coming months. They're going to launch this in Arkansas, kind of an odd place to start your drone business. But yeah, you'll be able to order things from the Walmart warehouse and it'll show up on your doorstep via a drone coming to the very near future. So Rachel, we're officially living in what we used to imagine was the future.
Every day you say something that I go, oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't think of that. And today's was, how do you think Amazon delivers stuff to your house in 24 hours? And I'm like, I never thought of it. But you're right. It's not natural.
Yeah, they're making people work really, 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 really hard to make that happen.
451 DGS.
I said in the last segment that it was weird that they were launching the drones in Arkansas.
Yep.
Walmart. Well, the Granite Pundit and Dustin on Twitter let me know. It's not strange at all. Walmart has their headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas.
I've been there.
You have?
Bentonville or
remember
that Walmart?
When Foxpod did the deal with...
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you were in Arkansas
for
that.
Yeah, we're at the mothership. What'd you say, Trish?
I said in Bentonville, or you were at that Walmart?
No. Scott and I went down to Bentonville, to Walmart, to try to convince them to put our Foxpaw company. I used to own a company that fixed phones. You may have seen them in the Schnucks orange kiosks. My partner Scott and I owned that. And it was fascinating. It was absolutely, utterly fascinating because you walk into a huge lobby and there are, I'd say, 300 people pitching Walmart. And you have people say, like, you can cut the tension. I mean, you just wanted to throw
up.
Are
you all sitting in the same room? Or
In the lobby, you are.
Okay, so everybody out there is waiting to go pitch their product.
Yes.
They must set a day aside, I guess.
Probably every day.
So, this is
interesting. And everyone's just like, they're so nervous. And everyone's on their laptops and they're yelling at each other. And it's just nuts. And then they take you back. I'm going to guess there are a couple hundred at least. Little rooms that look exactly like an interrogation room. Okay.
Yeah.
There's just a table, two chairs on one side, two chairs on the other. That's it. No artwork. And you go in there. And we had talked to our two guys who were handling our account before we had a relationship. But yeah, and it went well. We did a deal. We put Foxpaw in a bunch of stores in San Antonio and other places down south. But I said to them, I know what you're doing. Like, I bet you Firestone or Nabisco is in a room just like this. And you're telling them, you're no more important to us than Foxpaw. And they looked at each other and smiled and winked. Isn't that neat? Like
That's
the psychology
crazy.
Of it.
So do they let you know before you leave if it's a go?
No. We kind of knew.
So you, but for everybody else who didn't, you know, who went in and pitched. So you go in and pitch.
Yeah, I doubt it.
And are these meetings going on at the same time, meaning not everybody's going into the same two guys.
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, it's such a huge operation. So I'm going to guess they see a couple hundred, 300 people at least a day.
For some people, it's if they get the right person, right?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it could be if you get the wrong person.
And from what we understand from them, very, very few people even make it there. Like to have a meeting in Bentonville in an interrogation room is, you just don't get it. because just
so
like,
many things to do before
yeah,
that.
Just like Schnucks. Mm-hmm. You know, we went in Schnucks before we went in anywhere, and they were great to us. But getting in took a long time because everyone's invented a better mousetrap. Everyone just goes to Snooks and goes like, hey, you're going to want my cookies. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, well, we have a lot of cookies. But no, that was really, really interesting just to see how it worked.
Man, I'm seeing another story here. I wish I would have had this in headlines. Naomi Osaka, who I've been talking about mm-hmm. a lot lately, and I actually just read her profile with Vogue from earlier in the year. She is officially out of Wimbledon.
Damn.
She said she's going to take some personal time with friends and family and get ready for the Olympics. She's going to play for Japan on their Olympic team. She makes more money than any other woman in sports. I'm pretty sure she, in 2020, she made like just a crazy amount
so
with her endorsements. And exactly. And you know what? I admire her for doing this because most people, I think the culture of sports is like just go, 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 because your time is limited and you want to be the greatest of all time and you want to just go as hard as possible. But this is someone who's going, I'm already incredibly successful. I could keep going, but at what cost? Like, why am I going to be miserable when I already have so much? Why don't I focus on the thing I really want to do this year, which is the Olympics? So good for her.
Yeah, good for her. Yeah, it's hurting tennis way more than it's hurting her.
Yeah, and then Rafael Nadal is a male tennis player. He's also sitting out for Wimbledon saying he's got to listen to his body. Hopefully we see more and more athletes do this.
Yeah.
Not because I'm like, don't play, but it's, hey, if you're hurting yourself, don't push yourself just to push yourself.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.